Call this March 13, 2019, Planning and Zoning Commission meeting to order. I am Chairman Harker, and I'll be presiding over tonight's meeting. May I have a roll call, please?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Present.
Williams?
Present.
Goins is absent. Juarez?
Here.
Markham?
Here.
Olson?
Here.
Harker?
Here.
Thank you.
All right. Moving on here to the previous meeting minutes. May I have a motion to approve the meeting minutes from the February 13, 2019 Planning and Zoning Commission meeting?
So moved. Second.
Okay, is there any questions or amendments to anything? No? Okay. May I have a roll call vote on the motion, please?
Yes. Williams?
Aye.
Juarez?
Yes.
Markham?
Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Yes.
And Harker?
Yes. The minutes are approved. Moving on to the citizen comments. Are there any citizen comments from the public tonight on any item that's not on tonight's agenda? Seeing as there is none, I have one I'd like to add. Tonight we have a new committee member is Danny Williams. He's brand new tonight, so welcome aboard, buddy.
Thank you.
And then also, on another note, Reagan Goins has been on the committee for this committee for 3 years, plus she was in charge of the zoning board for 2 years or so before that, and she has just recently stepped down. So we'd like to thank her for all of her service to the community and all the time and all that good stuff. So she'll be definitely missed. Moving on to the public hearing portion. There is one public hearing, which is PZC 2019-03, scheduled for tonight's Planning and Zoning Commission meeting. The purpose of this hearing is to invite testimony from members of the public regarding the proposed request being heard before the board tonight. Public testimony from persons may wish to speak may be in for the request being heard or against the request, or just have questions for the petitioner. Those persons wishing to testify are asked to speak clearly, one at a time, state your name and who you represent, if anyone. You're also asked to sign in at the podium if you haven't already done so. If you plan to speak during tonight's meeting as a petitioner or a member of the public, please stand, raise your right hand, and repeat after me. Somebody about to talk. Okay. I, state your name.
I, Teresa
Doctor. Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That the testimony I will provide at tonight's hearing.
The testimony I will provide at tonight's hearing.
Is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Thank you. All right. And the order that we're going to take the testimony will be the petitioner will go. And then those who are in favor of the request, and then those in opposition of the request, and then questions from the board to the petitioner. Okay? May I have a motion to open public hearing on petition number PZC 2019-03?
Second.
Okay, roll call vote, please, on the motion.
Yes. Juarez?
Yes.
Markham?
Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Harker?
Yes. Okay. PZC 2019-03, Matthew C. Hively, petitioner, has filed an application with the United City of Yorkville, Kendall County, Illinois, requesting rezoning classification of three parcels. The real property is located south of Illinois Route 71, north of Illinois Route 126, and part of the previously approved Windmill Farms Annexation Agreement, which allowed for certain land uses consistent with those found in R4 General Multifamily Residence District and B3 General Business Districts, B3 General Business Zoning Districts. The petitioner is seeking to rezone two parcels to the B3 General Business District and one parcel to an A1 Agricultural District. The purpose of rezoning is to establish and operate a nursery and garden center with a retail store on the proposed B3 zoned parcels and an accessory building for the storage of the equipment and landscaping materials in the proposed A1 zone parcel. Okay. Petitioner, are you ready?
Teresa Ballinger, I'm attorney representing Matt Hively, who's a petitioner. We have two applications for rezoning to present this evening. First, these are both parcels that were previously from the Windmill Farms annexation. The one parcel, we're seeking A1 zoning, and for our other application, we're looking for B3 zoning. As was explained, the purpose for the B3 zoning is to operate a nursery recreation center. We presented a concept plan that shows a 4,000 square foot building to serve for that purpose. That would be the retail portion of that business. This parcel does extend just across the street as well. There's a small piece of that parcel. We're also seeking B3 here. Presently, we're contemplating no building at this time. We're planning to landscape it so it's in keeping with the appearance of the nursery garden center. And it will serve as part of some support for the business and the garden center. With respect to the application seeking A1 zoning, that is just a little bit down the road from those parcels. It's currently being farmed, and we're looking to grow plants and things that support that nursery and garden center as well. So if you have to answer any questions that you have about our applications that are in the packet tonight, or the concept plan that we presented.
Okay.
Would you like your response to the findings entered into the record?
Yes, please.
Excellent. Any questions? Sorry.
Yeah, the parcel number 3, you said that you guys are just going to landscape it. Was there any plans, like, you weren't thinking of, like, signage, or just kind of, like, tie the landscaping into the actual business itself?
For the parcel that's part of the larger...
Yeah, the 3 and the 1.
Yeah, at this time, we do have to work with the traffic situation. It's a very small piece. So we don't have any plans to build presently on that. We would like to, yes, it is quite small, but we do view that as part of the business, and use it as an opportunity to kind of showcase some of the landscaping and services that will be provided by the nurseries.
Okay, yeah, completely clarified. So, yeah, it's like a little showroom. You get to put some plants in there, get an idea of what you do and what you have.
Okay,
cool. Thank you.
Will the main parcel number 2 there, will that have, like, a fence around it, or is there a call-out for any of that?
Around the garden center?
Yeah.
There's no fence. I think there we'd be doing some more landscaping with trees, which is kind of going to act as a natural fence.
Okay.
And they'll be complying with the appearance code that's required with respect to signs, and obviously the nature of the business is such that we want to make sure it's visibly attractive in the area.
Okay. One other thing on the... would you say that, like, the company is more going to be more like a Schaefer's or like a greenhouse like that, or is it going to be more like a Winding Creek? Is it Winding Creek down in Millbrook? I mean, I'm just trying to. What's that?
More like
they're both. Are they? You guys are going to be retail, right? It's going to be retail.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, for people looking to update their gardens, do landscaping around, they can come in and view the products, get advice, and things like that.
Okay.
Does that help to answer?
Yeah, I'm sure. I think it's going to be kind of like Winding Creek.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
But
in Yorkville, exactly. Okay.
I'm concerned about the traffic of the speed limit around there and the entrance. Okay.
Right, so both streets or roadways that they are adjacent to, 71 and 126, are regulated by IDOT, so we do not control the speed limit on those streets, those roadways. However, they would need to get a permit from IDOT, and IDOT would take all of that into consideration of the location of the entrance.
Yeah, because they don't have a wall.
Right, they don't have a decel.
It's pretty dangerous, but...
So I believe the petitioner has submitted an application to IDOT. They have not gotten a response yet. If you do know, IDOT does have plans for 71.
Yeah.
Widening for that. They do have plans for 126. That's just not funded yet, so it's down the road. But they would be considering all of that when they issue the permit to the petitioner.
And we have been working with IDOT in developing the concept plan. And we did initially make some modifications based on some of their comments. And so the access points in our most current concept plan have been preliminarily approved by IDOT, but we will have to get the comments and go through their process so they'll be reviewing our plans as well.
I think, you know, a concern of mine is parcel one. As far as the traffic on 71 is coming out of there, you know, because they're gonna be hauling stuff with like tractors and hay racks, or how are you gonna get it there?
It'll be
semis,
trucks, and trailers.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll be traveling.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I'm like, man, this is gonna be dangerous pulling out and then having. Okay. Okay.
Is this business already in operation someplace, or is this a startup operation?
This is a new retail business.
Yeah, I have a landscaping company right now, and I'm planning to open this and have it be separate business from that.
Oh, go ahead. Would you identify yourself, please?
Matt Hively.
And do you mind speaking into the microphone? Our court reporter isn't here, so she'll be taking the information from the recording.
Okay. Go ahead and say your name again, please.
Matt Hively.
Okay.
It's
going to be a new business. I have a landscape company already, and it's just another business venture.
Is the landscaping company the one just down the street?
No.
Okay.
You just run out of there, but
okay.
We're going to go now.
Okay.
So it's an expansion of existing landscape business.
Excellent. And do you do like pergolas and like hardscape stuff?
Yeah.
Also?
Doing kind of some lawn furniture, buying a sawmill to make some pergolas, you know, benches, you know, just kind of a different garden center.
Okay.
It's not just going to be plants. You can kind of sell some stuff like that too.
Personally, I think I'm a little nervous about how much money I'm going to spend there.
All right.
Matt, do you own the property?
We have it under contract, so.
How does that fit in with the comprehensive plan?
So the comprehensive plan does designate this area as a state residential, and I'll explain a little bit of the history of how we came about that. When we did the comprehensive plan, it started in 2016. At that time, we were just coming out of the recession, the turnover of the economy and where we were going. We were trying to look for a vision. So the direction of the comprehensive plan was to focus on the built area of the community and everything on the outside that didn't have an active agreement where buildings were happening. We put it in the placeholding category, which is our state residential. This area, the horizon of that comp plan was 10 years, so we're about a third of the way into it. The parcel was deemed one of those locations that we didn't think anything was going to happen because it's encumbered by an existing annexation agreement, which had retail as well as residential. So we put that in the whole ring pattern. When these petitioners came forward saying that they were looking to move forward with this parcel, we decided that we would look at trying to get all of the owners together to do one grand amendment to the annexation agreement, releasing the obligations so that they could move forward. However, we weren't able to get all of the petitioners or the owners to be petitioners in that agreement. So the process that we're taking is, albeit piecemeal, it's a parcel-by-parcel addressing of the issue. So what we're doing separately from the PZC committee meeting tonight is we're having a public hearing at City Council on the 26th, and at that time we will amend the annexation agreement to release the obligations of that very large, and in your packet you have that very large possibly unrealistic plan, and then allow each parcel owner, each parcel owner to come in, rezone the property to a more appropriate land use, and then move forward with development.
I can see this as being an issue with other places within the city. Is there something that we can do to maybe address this and make it an easier transition, or are we going to have to do this every time somebody comes?
So this is a unique case. Are you referring to just this parcel or the amendment to the comprehensive plan?
I'm just talking about it in general, because I'm certain there's other places within our comprehensive plan that we could possibly see something like this. It was kind of that middle ground area. We don't know exactly what to do with it. Zone it this.
The comprehensive plan is a guide. It's not a law, right? So
exactly.
As long as we stay true to what the intent is, not necessarily what it's designated is. You know, we're not going to put industrial building across the street.
Was there something, I'm fine with this. Is there something that we can do to streamline this so that we don't have to keep going through?
Sure. So what the process is, so two things. You do value the comprehensive plan as a guide, as Jeff mentioned. It does have some legal standing because it has to be adopted by the community. But you have the ability to amend it, and that's the process. So at the end of the year, staff brings a lot of the projects that have come through that were approved that had deviations from that plan, and we present it to you and amend the document. So it's a living document. It changes, and just as rezoning changes, you know, the land use, we would do that too. To kind of predict where that's going to happen, possibly we could do that, but we let the market kind of dictate. You know,
I just didn't know if this was going to be the same stuff for the next time this came through, and if we could save a little bit of time and energy on everyone's side.
It will be, unfortunately, for this particular parcel, because it has, I think, 12 individual homes.
Almost don't mind, right? Somebody brings something to us every once in a while.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I don't want to be too streamlined and then it's taken out of our hands and our opinions. So,
point taken. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You know, I always thought this area would be more like retail as far as grocery because the location.
Lots of
another hospital was supposed to go there.
That's a lot of houses around the area.
Yeah.
And pergolas and chairs.
I plan on retiring in the future subdivision across the street there on 71. It's not built yet.
So you're going to need a nursery.
Yes, I'm going to need a nursery across the street.
But I don't want to drive to Winding Creek every time. So, I mean, I think it's got just as much of a place. There's plenty of subdivisions around it.
And if you look on the, you know, what our requirements are to be in order to have it, would be one of them, I think, where it's there.
Correct.
Yep.
Public
yep.
And, you know, Indiana's going to be creating a lot of jobs here. I think we talked about 30, 35 jobs. And also, it's a big sales tax generator for the city.
Absolutely.
People spend a lot of money. I know you see what I spend every year. At
me too.
Yeah. I think I gave them my commercials. That's
right. Yeah. This is okay.
Well, excellent. Winding Creek, love them too, but I just, you know, saying this is Yorkville, now we'd be able to get a lot of these things that you can't
get. Right.
These types of stutters carry things that you can't buy in other places.
Correct. Yeah. And actually, you know, thinking about it more, you know, once they had it. It gets approved and everything, and they have it built and all that good stuff. You know, it actually might cause a slowdown a little bit on 71. You know what I mean? Especially as you're coming around that, as you're coming like into town from, and you're heading west on 71. As you come down the hill, that'd be nice.
Yeah, I'm gonna landscape it real nice, and I mean the building is gonna look nice. I got a bunch of handwood beams from a barn we took down, and I'm gonna make the front porch out of. So I'm gonna build everything right.
Cool. Very nice. Does anybody else have any other questions for them right now? Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Anybody here that would like to speak that's in favor of the request that's being heard? Anybody that would like to speak that's opposed to the request being heard? Okay. And questions? Any more questions? Okay. None?
Seeing that all the testimony has been taken, may I get a motion to close out of the public hearing and close the petition number PZC 2019-03?
So moved. Second.
Okay. Public hearing is now closed. What's that?
Roll call.
Oh, roll call vote on the motion. Thank you.
Juarez?
Yes.
Markham?
Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Harker?
Yes. All right. Okay, moving on to unfinished business. PZC 2018-18, Marker Inc. petitioner has filed an application with the United City of Yorkville, Kendall County, Illinois, requesting an amendment to the Heartland Subdivision Planned Unit Development to reduce the interior side yard setback from 20 feet to 10 feet on lot 187 of the subdivision. Additionally, the petitioner is requesting to increase the maximum allowable height of the permitted fence in the business district from 6 feet to 8 feet. The real property is located at the southwest corner of McHugh Road and Route 34 intersection in Yorkville.
Good evening. Dan Kramer on behalf of the petitioner. You've seen me on this one, unfortunately, a couple times. As we talked before, this one, the zoning is already in place, so they can build the building. It's just the dimensions and size. The two things we were asking for back when we originally filed were the interior setback, which we think is very important, gives the building some more size and just better perspective to it. The fence, we had talked about with EDC committee, and they weren't too crazy about it. They said, look, can't you live with the 6 foot that the city ordinance is? So frankly, we're happy to withdraw the fence request. We don't have to wait on that yet. I've got to compliment the city staff because right after the February meeting, I think the next day or within 2 days, they tried to get a hold of the KC people as well. Greg tried 3 or 4 more times, and in no conflict, we just can't raise anything other than talking to a day manager at the station who's told us she has absolutely no authority and she would pass it on to her higher-ups. We haven't gotten a call, an email, a letter. And unless Jason and Christy got something today after I left the office at 5, we've got zilch. So we would ask to approve the setback variance. We've gone through the public hearing. We've had absolutely no objection. We've never had anybody from the public here on it. And really, what we've shown you as far as layout, without the common driveway with Casey's, there's not much else we can do. We meet, I think, the really important things. The front setback at 34, we're fine. The cube going in, we're fine. And as I think I mentioned at last meeting, Markers are planning on actually moving their real estate office there. They own the daycare center in back, and they own the building with Kay Hatcher's office, and it used to be a title company. And I think maybe Gold Star Dance is closed shop now. I don't believe they're there anymore. That business is for sale or lease. So they plan on occupying one space themselves, and they think it would be a good destination for title company, lawyer's office, real estate office. It would not be a high traffic residential, or excuse me, retail. So you're not going to get a lot of in and out. There's just not enough parking, no ability for a drive through. So we'd ask for a positive vote tonight and then move it on to the city council. If you would, please.
Okay.
I'll go over a couple things, too. Thanks, Dan, for explaining your position. I apologize. I dropped off everybody a cover memo if it didn't make it into the packet, printed or digitally. The important one got in there was the one from December with all the details and all the drawings and everything that was submitted then for the public hearing. My cover memo just went over what Dan said, talking about not only the petitioners are trying to get a hold of Casey's, but staff has as well. It was our assumption, and after we talked to our legal counsel, saying obviously them not returning our calls and not talking to either of us just gives us the assumption they don't want to let them connect. So, and you know, we can't sit here forever trying to just delay, waiting. So, it's staff's recommendation that you guys review the original materials as it was submitted. Obviously, the fence request is being removed, but it would have the entrance coming up to the queue where it shows, and all the other exhibits and things shown from the December memo is what would be proposed. So with that, that is pretty much where we're at.
The December one had a bunch of different steel rods on the back, right?
Well, so what we did, Jeff, was try it and show it. If we got the variance, that was one alternative. And then we did another, if we could do the joint driveway with Casey's. And we had to do it in a different fashion, saying, okay, we've got the joint driveway, but you don't give us the 10-foot side yard. And joint driveway, you give us the 10-foot side yard. And then no joint driveway, you give us the 10-foot side yard, or you don't give us anything. So we gave you four iterations. So we're asking no common driveway and give us the 10-foot or 10-yard, so 10-foot side yard setback instead of 20.
So no common driveway.
I'm sorry?
You said no common driveway?
No common driveway because as staff has said, we can't get Casey's to talk with us.
I would have one question. Have you decided on, because there are massing models here, and it's two or three stories?
Well, if they,
either way?
If they get the 10-foot setback, they're going to go to a two-story building. If they did not get the variation, they would go up another floor to a three-story. And it's going to have an elevator regardless for handicap accessibility.
So if you get the setback, it's going to be a one story?
Two story.
Okay, all right. Yeah. That makes more sense.
Sorry,
I heard one.
It's confusing with all of them. We can't give the four iterations, not knowing what Casey's is going to say. So.
And if you don't get the 10 foot, you're going to build a three story building.
You're going to build a three story building. It'll just look like that hotel that when you're on 88 going to Wild. Okay. On the right side, it looks like they left half of the dog.
I didn't think they had enough parking to do three stories.
Yes, that's what
I thought. That was on the plan.
When it becomes difficult, it depends. They have to show us the square footage because it goes from...
It'll be a smaller footprint.
It'll be a smaller footprint,
set.
But we do measure street square footage of all
floors.
So depending on what they would end up submitting for the height and floor layout, we would see if they'd be able to get that much
parking. So where's the fence going in relation to the...
Right on the lot line, about a foot inside between Casey's and the building, Jeff.
So be
on the west property.
So there would be a fence on that.
Right, we'd put it down.
What is that?
I would call it the west. It would be decorative, not site or anything. They're thinking about the nice newer PVC type.
I'm going to run basically like the length. Was it going to run the length of the lot or to get to the right-of-way, or is it going to stop like just after the entrance of the parking lot?
It would stop close to the end, close to the entrance. They just want to get by the front of Casey's where all the activity would be.
Okay.
Okay.
It's actually not allowed to go past the front plane of the building.
Oh, okay.
It's for our...
So,
okay.
Did we start here?
We could not pass the front plane... This is our parking lot.
You can go all the way back?
Yes.
So it started here at the front plane of the building, come off, shoot down 1 foot inside the property line, all the way back towards the back.
You can actually go up to the property line, yes.
Right. We would not go to the southern property line. We just want to get by, like I said, where the headlights are and all the activities, so they're not shining the offices during the winter months.
Isn't that where the gas tanks, the trucks are?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, and they go in on their side, obviously.
Right.
They don't cross, in other words, through our property at all to get to their fill-ups.
If the Casey's is not going to play ball, which you don't know, increase to be fair if they're not.
Right.
The thing that concerns me is the access. We had a title claim a while back at property in Will County for like this, where there was a corner parcel, but then they still were denied access because it was too close to the intersection. Do we have a situation like that, or is this acceptable distance from the intersection?
So there's concerns about the distance from the intersection from the engineer. So that would not be detailed out until we have final engineering. There was an initial request where they wanted to either shave down or get rid of that median on the queue. That was rejected.
Of which I'm a huge fan, just for the record.
That was rejected.
I am too, for the record.
For a myriad of purposes by the Public Works Department and our Engineering Department. So, to answer your question, we don't have a definitive answer yet of where that location for the entrance would be until we get final engineering plans.
And we would have to submit the permit before within so many feet died out for the actual cut.
Yes, right.
Yeah. It has to be so far down from the corner, right? From 34?
Right. Yeah, that's where we got into the discussion about the practicality of doing just what you just said about making the median drive over. I think it would be 1,000% improvement on the volume of traffic that's going to the restaurant, all those businesses to the east of it. But it's really not our battle to fight. We don't need it. So.
That is true.
How close could they put it? Because Casey's has that going out to McHugh.
Correct. That's another issue.
How close could they put that together?
Exactly.
Does it have to be technically divided, or can they pave right up to
so theirs? So this location of McHugh is city-owned, so that would be up to our city engineer and public works director. There are standards that you would put in place. That was the staff's concern. With the exit, which is dedicated strictly for the truck traffic, and they have to travel north, which would then have an opportunity for a conflict with cars coming in and out of that location. It has to go to, this is the final engineering. And the petitioner is only requesting a variance at this point, so they haven't invested into that. Correct. They have not invested.
This is a PUD amendment.
Okay, so
we've been using variance, but really what it is a PUD amendment. Since it's part of the existing Heartland PUD, this was considered the third amendment. There's already amendment within that. Start talking about the front yard setback is reduced as well.
What are we amending?
The 10-yard or the 24
setback.
Side yard setback. It would add language to their existing agreement that would allow their side yard setback to be 10 feet on this commercial site.
There are standards. PUD has standards. So you would go back to the original PUD standards, which would address the need and design. Is the design or the use have more importance or greater value than what the request is? So PUDs are a collection of variances, so they don't have to come and do, 15 variance requests. So there are standards. You use the same standards for a special use, and I can pull those up.
So safety included?
Safety is included. So you have the public health, safety, and welfare.
Yeah,
but
the safety is, I totally agree, but I
don't,
that's not
what this
is
asking. No, it's not. Unfortunately.
Whether it's safe or unsafe for somebody else.
Yeah, but.
But it's going to be the access to the same place.
But at that point, that's not really what they're looking for anyway. So they just want the setback taken care of. If the city engineers and the powers that be that makes those decisions, they're going to have to come to the board for that anyway. So
here are the standards. So there's six standards. So it's the establishment, maintenance, or operation of the special use, because that's what a PUD is, will not be unreasonably detrimental to or endanger the public health, safety, morals, comfort, or general welfare. The second one is the special use will not be injurious to the use and enjoyment of other property in the immediate vicinity for the purpose already permitted, nor substantially diminish and impair the property values within or near the neighborhood in which it is located. The third one is the establishment of the special use will not impede the normal and orderly development and improvement of surrounding property for the uses permitted. Four is adequate utilities, access roads, drainage, or other necessary facilities have been or are being provided. Five is adequate measures have been or will be taken to provide ingress and egress, so designed as to minimize traffic congestion in the public streets. And six is the proposed special use is not contrary to the objectives of the official comprehensive plan of the city as amended.
So with five and adequate measures for ingress specifically just to the setback change. Not necessarily the property as a whole or the property as a whole. Or
you have to decide. It relates to the property as a whole,
yes.
But yeah. It can be effectuated by one portion of the request. But you have to make that judgment.
I could certainly give you my opinion.
Okay.
And that is, I think it only affects the setback issue at this point. Because think about it. When they bought the entire property, this just happened to be what was left on the west side of the expanded Hugh Road right-of-way. So it wasn't like they platted their design to the east to say, boy, we want this hopelessly small lot. You had to do something with the property. And they never owned the property that's now the Casey's or what was directly behind the actual building at Casey's. There were a couple of different owners there. I think the Pilmer family was in front, and I'm not sure who owned the lot that fronted on McHugh in the back where that other driveway is going out. So if you said, for whatever reason, gee, as a city, we're not going to give you a driveway, then I would probably either visit the title company, however Mr. Markham said, and said, hey, we've got an access issue, or we would be visiting the city, say, you've created inverse condemnation. You, in effect, have deprived us of our zoned use as a business because you won't let us have a driveway cut. I'm confident the driveway cut of where they're proposing is going to jive with the state because we're not asking for any other changes, cutting the median or anything. In terms of, and you had a great point, and that's what I was going to go to just before Christy did the findings that are necessary. It's always been a chicken or the egg argument. Christy would love to have the exact colors and everything in the building. And actually, the Markers, the whole family are architects, which I knew the dad was, but I didn't know Greg has been in the meetings at ARG as well. And they said, look, as an architect, we'll do the full-blown drawings, we'll get full-blown engineering, but we've got to have a fixed target. What are we going to build and where? So that's why we've asked for the variance. And it's not really a variance, it's a PUD first. And then they'll go back and do the hardline engineering for the entrance and so on. The one finding that just jumped out at me that Christy read was how we affect the values and do we in any way interfere with developing the area. While I don't want to, you know, nominate my clients for sainthood, Casey's came to them when they were getting ready to build it and said, could we use this barren piece of property as our staging area? And my clients let them use it, never charged them a dime. So we actually helped Casey's get off the ground there. Didn't want anything in return. They weren't thinking of building yet then, but so it's doubly galling that we can't give them a return a phone call now. So we certainly don't hurt anybody in the neighborhood. We don't diminish values. I think for all of the taxing bodies, particularly the school district, which is 68 cents of each dollar, they would rather have a nice office building there than a small lawn.
It's just no, that's not.
No, that's for another agenda.
That would be a different story. The thing, though, the thing, Dan, the thing that I, what I see, you know, on the, you know, what you said, like, yes, it's zoned for the use.
Right.
The problem is there's no land. There's really no land there. I mean, it's so tiny.
Well, we can, I mean,
you can build on it, right?
Yeah, you can build on
sure.
it, and it'll work.
And I mean, I think another better idea would be to have Matt Hively put up another little demo yard there and keep it both look pretty. That'd be beautiful. It just, you know, when you're looking at, if you're looking at how it's going to affect everything else right there, a three-story building, it might be allowable, but it's going to look like a giant sore thumb.
But they can do it without a buyer relief. All they got to do is meet setbacks.
For the record, I don't like the idea of this building.
It's
just for the record.
It's like smaller than this.
What they are asking for, I got to take my personality, my personal
opinion out of it. I know.
They're not asking for anything that we haven't approved in some way, shape, or form already.
I know.
We got the standard for this.
Yeah.
We've done it before where there's been a standard that is, I always keep in my mind, is this self-reflected? Is this self-reflected?
Yeah.
That wasn't one, right?
No, that's only for a variance, and they're not asking for a variance.
Right.
Correct.
Okay. In that case, that would apply. I would think this is them trying to put it around a round peg in a square hole or vice versa, right? But the six standards that we had, in my opinion, there is no danger to public health or welfare. It is not to the detriment and enjoyment of others or decrease in property values. It is part of the normal orderly development of that area. It jives with what the comprehensive plan, which is a corridor on 34 and 47, for that type of material. There is adequate utility access. There is adequate measure of ingress and egress once they figure out this. If that is, I don't think that's good enough. And it does not go against the comprehensive plan. So if that's self-inflicted, your own making standard isn't in there, then I think they need all the other ones. Even though I agree with you that perhaps I wouldn't want a 10-story skyscraper next to the Casey's.
Exactly, but we've got established rules and guidelines, and it doesn't negatively affect anything that we're supposed to take to make our decision with it. So whether I like what they're building or not, as long as it meets every variance, annexation agreement, any kind of building, then
the cool thing about the PCC is we can all look at the same stuff and come up with different opinions, and it's not
absolutely
the world. We put a vote on that.
Absolutely agreed.
Can I make one quick comment about the comprehensive plan? This was one of those we were talking about just with the other Hively as well. And this was in the original demo. The proposed office use is not consistent with the designated future land use in the comprehensive plan, and is not a neighborhood retail use. Therefore, if the request is approved, an amendment to the comprehensive plan, like we said at the end of the year, it would be. There are obvious mentions about 34 and 47 corridor for commercial use, and again, it's a guide.
You're in an office space. It's the same thing. You're going to a business.
Property taxes, buddy.
And if you look at what they've done past over there, all their office buildings have been very nice masonry brick structures, same type of design. They're not very materialistic. Like a fine
job. Yes,
that's part of the appearance standard. But it's
done. Your plan is to bring that down to the two-story building, correct? If you get the setback.
Correct. Okay.
Just a clarification on the point about land use. Zoning does not take into consideration value, the dollar value, but planning does in a way, because you designate land for generating sales tax revenue, whereas office uses do not generate sales tax
revenue. We've got a proposed 4,000 square foot building there. Is that enough parking spaces for that?
Yeah, that program's out.
I believe with the setback, let me cover this, it's in the memo. With the setback for the size, that would be the exact right amount. If they had the same for the setback.
Great work that wasn't prepared to plan.
Yeah, they need to provide three parking spaces for 1,000 square feet, which means they need 12 spots, which is what they were showing. That's where if they went to the third floor, they would need another, four spots, and they wouldn't have. But if they made it smaller and taller, they might need the standards, depending on the size.
Is there a possible that there's PUD that would need another setback?
They've got
this one.
Action. When they, and I didn't do the original zoning, that was back when I had here, was on the other side of the fence here, the city attorney. They brought in the whole Heartland area that's now all offices or the daycare center and so on. If you went over behind Mike and Denise's, there's three lots that are part of the parking lot behind it that are buildable lots, but the markers don't own them. And then they are left with a, and again, they don't own it. Jim Rakos' group owns it. On the front, across the driveway to the east from the Dairy Queen there, there's a relatively small lot there as well. And again, that just happened to be how it was platted. Mr. Rakos didn't plat it, but again, markers don't own that. So there are, in effect, four lots in that original development that are not built upon, but markers don't own it.
You know, just to go back and give a little history, when I first moved here,
the queue came a different way. Mm-hmm. And the, that little slice was created because when Menards came in and they built Countryside Parkway that went into 34, and then they built McHugh, because McHugh used to end at 34. And that's when the realignment took place and actually created this little So, but that's how it all happened. Because at one time, it was a different configuration.
Yeah, McHugh came out a horrible 90-degree angle, you know, looking back.
And that's how the cheese got created, because it wasn't a comma when it was first done. It was a larger piece.
Right.
It was a larger piece. The comma was created when the road got aligned with Menards, built McHugh.
And this piece is part of the Heartland, so the residential subdivision. It did have a designation for commercial land use, but it was not part of the Heartland Center, which is the...
A little more background. As part of the Heartland annexation agreement, there was an amendment in 2005 which cut out Heartland Center, made it its own development. This piece was left in Heartland. So that's why this is the third amendment to that.
This is a little confusing.
No doubt. Question. So, Dan, just let me ask you a question. Is there, if you get the 10-foot setback, is there a chance that you'll still build a 3-story building there?
No, then they're going to do the 2.
For sure.
Correct.
Okay.
And then they would do their hard line engineering and building designs and so on to come in and go through the normal PUP process to get final approval.
I mean, I think Markers have, you know, really good taste in what in their buildings and, you know, the stuff they've done. You know, the subdivision and the other commercial properties and stuff, it's really nice. I think that, that's the lesser of two evils is going with 2 stories versus 3 there, because it's just such a tiny spot. Okay. Well, they say they do. 2 stories they do.
No, I don't think the 3-story.
They do because it would still be, it would just be a smaller footprint, just going up higher. So it's just based upon your square footage. Yeah.
And we'd have to proof it out, frankly, to show that we've got enough spaces.
So we don't know for sure.
Correct. Even though there's a promise made that it would be 2 stories, they do not necessarily have to stick with the two stories unless you make it a condition of your approval.
So I was
that's
just going to
be
say
a condition.
End of.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that after the from 20 feet to 10 feet and further subject to construction not to exceed 2 stories. Would probably be the end of my motion, or whoever's reading it tonight.
I think you're going to read it.
Okay,
that's
reading.
That condition is.
Here we go. We got a promise.
Now put your own resolution this time.
Yeah,
that's what they want to do. Let's just cover this. I've proposed and approved some things. I wish I had put another thing or dividing line on. And I said the next time that happens,
some kind of retail there.
Well, the problem with the retail is, again, even though the ordinance only calls the 3 spaces per 1,000, you're playing with fire, you know, with that few parking places. What they've been able to do, you know, in their other areas is, like with Blackstone, you've got cross-parking agreements where Blackstone's full. They can park over in front of the other and vice versa with the uses and veterans away there. Here, you just wouldn't have any place else to go down with additional parking. So, you know, with the world we're in now, with things sold online, it's not necessarily it has to be office. You can still get some type of sales tax generator that does nothing but takes orders online. If you drive down I-55 in the middle of nowhere on your way to Bloomington Normal, I don't know what they changed your name to after the Words Company and Family merged their alcohol business. But they have a very nice 2-story brick office building sitting on the east side out in the middle of a cornfield near an exchange on 55 that they do nothing but do all of their billing, accounts receivable and payable out of there. So they don't have to pay City of Chicago and Cook County taxes on the alcohol. They're selling all over Indiana, Illinois, and Wisconsin. So you could have an office like that there that generated a scad of sales tax. So I'm not promising it, but it could.
I think that's like Breakthrough, something like that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is it called like Breakthrough Beverage or something?
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Anybody else have any questions on this? All right. Need a motion, yeah.
Yeah, okay, real quick on the motion, which I handed out in the cover memo. On top of if you want to add the maximum height of 2 stories to the structure, mm-hmm. We also need to add removal of the request, further subject to the removal of the request to increase the maximum fence height from 6 feet to 8 feet. And,
or you could just say,
or,
and a 6 foot tall fence.
Oh, or yeah, or you can say, but that's our, oh yeah, okay. Or you can go that way, which is a lot easier.
Gotcha.
2 story building, not more than 30 foot tall.
Sure. Which is our code.
Okay. Yeah, they can't exceed anything. So 2 story.
Let's just stick with two stories and
six.
A 6 foot fence. Okay. All right. May I have a motion to approve the PZC 2018-18 PUD amendment?
So moved.
No.
We need the motion.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Please read the motion.
Based on information provided by staff in memorandum dated December 6, 2018, February 6, 2019, and March 6, 2019, and testimony presented during a public hearing on January 9, 2019, and the standards for PUD approval and amendment, the Planning and Zoning Commission recommends approval of an amendment to the Heartland Annexation and Planned Unit Development Agreement to reduce side yard setback from 20 feet to 10 feet. And further subject to construction not to exceed 2 stories with a fence not to exceed 6 feet.
Awesome. May I have a roll call? Can I get a roll call vote on the motion, please?
Yes. Markham?
Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Jerez?
No.
And Harker?
Yes.
Thank you very much, and it was a good catch about adding the condition, because in PUDs you can add conditions, where if it's straight zoning, you can say we'd like it, but you can't add it, so we're comfortable with that. That's pretty cool. Thanks for the time.
Did we ever go to that?
No, we got to go over that here.
Or you're next.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. New business. Back to you guys.
No.
Okay. PZC 2019-03, Matt Heifel. Okay. So we've already discussed it. We've already talked about it. We basically went through the conditions or
if you like. You can vote individually or... If you're comfortable with them as a group, you can
vote for your comfort. I'm comfortable. Okay. Anybody have any other questions or? Okay. May I get a motion to approve the PZC 2019-03? Sorry.
So moved.
Is that the map amendment? Yeah.
Second.
All right. Roll call vote on the motion, please.
We need a motion.
Oh, you got to read it. Second.
In consideration of testimony presented during the public hearing on March 15, 2019, and approval of findings of fact, the Planning and Zoning Commission recommends approval to the City Council of a request for a map amendment to rezone the property stated in the staff memorandum dated January 30, 2019, to B3 General Business District and A1 Agricultural District.
Okay. May I get a roll call vote on the motion, please?
Yes. Olson?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Jerez?
Yes.
Markham?
Yes.
Harker?
Yes. Motion is approved. Thank you. Have a good night, guys.
I wanted to get involved.
My
Oh, thanks. Thank you.
Yeah, sorry about that. Sorry about the wait. We're here. Take care. Over. All right. Additional business?
The city council update.
Fantastic.
Can I bring up something I want to talk about for the additional business?
Okay.
Fencing. Construction fencing.
Yes. Yes.
All right. So, correct me if I'm wrong, Brooklyn does not have an ordinance requiring construction fencing in city limits.
We do not have a specific ordinance for that.
Now, I brought up to you before on that.
Countryside,
Yes, but the one on Cannonball. Yes, Cedars. There wasn't anything there, right?
Correct.
Okay, whatever. They did a nice site. They did a good job. And then I drove through
Kendall Crossing,
former Countryside, where Maya was and my safari I grew up with. And they're building the hotel, and 80 feet from the front door of the daycare was an open catch basin where a kid could fall 15 feet to his death. In a heartbeat, with no snow fence, no construction fence, no safety measures whatsoever. Kid could just walk right in here. Now, I was playing nice and not making a big deal about it when it was Cedars, because there's nothing anybody could really get hurt with in case kids got in, unless kids got in and fell. But this is like the worst I've ever seen on a job site in my 15 years is it being that close. And it was in my town and not something that I could help with, right? So I know that the reason that, I believe the reason that we do not have a firm construction fence ordinance is because on home building would add some unnecessary costs. Right? As long as you keep people out of basements with something like an orange snow fence or whatever, so not sitting on their phone texting and walking into a basement, that's fine. It has to be something. But when it's a commercial construction or Boom is doing something or God knows what, and you have to have, for safety reasons, a delineation between public space and pedestrian space, is necessary. This was so necessary to work on that site. They did such a poor job. It had to be addressed. So I emailed the mayor, Christy, and Bart, and said, hey, heads up. I called the non-emergency line because somebody will fall down, you know. Mm-hmm. It's a 14-foot deep catch basin.
How wide is it?
It's a manhole cover.
It's wide enough for a young child.
You and I could fall down.
Well, you probably wouldn't fall down. Yeah. You'd break your leg.
Yeah.
You'd be ugly. You would hate it.
So,
it's on the construction side, right?
It's time to make a fine space.
It's in there.
Yes, it is.
Yes, I forgot. Qualifier, you know. It's right beside the construction entrance, right? So it's like 8 foot from the curb. There's no gate.
Why did they have the lid on it?
So I believe the International Fire Code might address this. I'm not a subject expert on this,
right.
But there is a provision within there for confined space. So if I were going to drop a dime, it would be to the fire marshal.
Yes.
Which we did. We did relate it to Mike Torrance.
So it's open, and it was still open when I went by a couple of days later. They had taken some pink spray paint. You know, sure kids are going to see pink spray paint. They're like, oh, I better stop.
No, they don't have a sheet of plywood to simply stick over it.
The lid is right there.
It was
too heavy for me to physically pick up the lid and rip. The rim is the part the lid sits, right?
Yeah.
It sits on top of the catch basin. It was physically too heavy for me to move myself, or I would have done it myself. But it also wasn't moved 3 days later. It was still sitting there with just some pink spray paint on it. So if you're looking at a percentage of cost on construction projects, that construction fence is nothing. It's pennies on the dollar of the overall construction cost. But some kid falls in there, somebody's kid, my kid, I got three boys who run all over the place.
Right?
It absolutely would be worth every penny.
I can guarantee you right now that the fire protection district of this community, I'd almost bet my life, is not qualified to enter a confined space without taking this to a higher. This is no big deal up in the suburbs. We're all trained for certain levels like this, but I doubt Bristol Kendall's put at least three people through and guaranteed that they're all working at the same time.
Because how do you get the kid out of there?
It's a confined space.
Right.
It becomes a technical rescue
So what I wanted to bring up was burning my thoughts for the last week is if we can at least propose some sort of requirement with some, you know, feeling out here and there for if it's a residential house built, no, we don't want you to go spend another grand on a fence or something and artificially drive up the cost. But it would cost you once $300 to get some snow fence and some stakes and put it around the house. If you build the house here, move it to the next one. Move it to the next one. If you spend $300 a year on it, okay, but maybe you save some kid falling in the hole. Right? But 1,000,000% of these commercial projects where they're doing underground, they got this stuff opened up.
So your timing is perfect because April 2nd we are doing an amendment to our building code standards. So what I will do, I would request if you provide me with some language from the City of Chicago. Pete is out right now at a conference, or just something that you think would be helpful.
The farther you go north and east, the crazier it gets. Evanston makes you do silly stuff.
So we did do an amendment when I did the building code update for those development sites. We had those big mounds of earth, and they're just sitting there, and kids can climb on. So we do require they're over a certain height that they have to be fenced. So I'm sure we can incorporate
that. The same thing I brought up in those pictures, too, is right on the parking lot for the daycare lighthouse, right? Mm-hmm. Lighthouse's parking lot ends, and there's a brand new, really well kept building around, which I think is
flight.
But they've got all their topsoil stockpiled in the back of the building, which makes sense on a construction site. You've got to keep it out of the way while you're doing your underground, except there's no delineation between the kids' parking lot and those dirt piles. Sometimes they're going to move those dirt piles with skid steers and
minivans. There's not even silt fence?
Nothing.
Really?
And self-fitness requirement.
That is.
We go out on site. EEI goes out on site daily. And the thing is, we can site and we can stop work, but we can't go on site and change the work. So
process that
is. It is. It is. And when people violate, yes, it is. It's part of the soil erosion, the earthwork permit. When people violate those things, the only recourse that we have is to issue a stop work order or issue a citation. Doesn't necessarily mean that it will become into compliance.
But so if we had a construction standard, then there would be a barrier. It would have to be there.
Correct. It would have to be there. But if they don't provide it, again, our recourse is to cite and
if they're
stop
obviously, if they're obviously not doing anything, that property's got an address, correct?
Is this the...
I OSHA call that.
But the contractor for flight.
OSHA.
Okay.
Absolute OSHA violations. We can't make amendments and build the language to it right away, but if they're not gonna
respond
tomorrow. Once somebody calls and tells them it's within 50 feet of a daycare and it's an unprotected,
It's a new structure. They just didn't put the frame in. They didn't put the frame in.
The concrete lid, part of the catch basin is there. The steel rim with the manhole cover sitting in the steel rim is 3 foot off. Just sitting there.
That's awesome.
You can look down there and
see. Had issues with that site.
It's so foolish. They could just put a piece of plywood on it.
Right. That or finish putting the manhole together. I mean, it's too minutes.
I would say, are we able to see their plans beforehand when they start these construction?
Yes, we are.
Do you know if they're including designs for the silt fences in those plans?
They have to, yes.
Okay.
It's part of their site improvement permit, their earthwork. So that's how we get them, because we go to them and say, you're not conforming to your plan, and that's how we issue the citation. But we can't physically correct.
You can just give them a citation.
We can give them a citation.
Right.
We can issue a stop work order. None of that makes the problem.
I'll find an effective, cost-effective also fence requirement from some municipality on the penalty.
Sure.
I think it's super important.
Shouldn't a citation have a hefty fine or something like
they
that?
They do, but because we are the inspector, we are not the authority that issues. Yeah, we enforce the code. We don't issue the.
That would
come before our adjudication. So a hearing officer would hear our side.
Do they have an emergency?
We have hearings every Monday, and by ordinance, we give you a notice, and you have to. We have to stagger it out 30 to 45 days.
Yeah, the quickest way to fix this is drop a call to OSHA that unsafe condition at the site.
Correct.
That would do it. That would be.
We do. Yeah. So our building code official.
OSHA.
anyone can do it, but we would definitely do that. We've reached out to the fire district as well.
What's the address of the place?
It's the thing, right?
It's the Hotel Express. It's 777.
Can you do me a favor? I'll take care of this.
I think 577.
Yeah.
I have plenty of experience with OSHA reps, so if you could just send me the lot number, I will call OSHA tomorrow.
We will as well. That's our responsibility.
Okay. I'll hit the guy I know in Naperville, because that's who would probably be taking it.
Just going back to the building code update, you mentioned, it's going to our Economic Development Committee in April. It will come before you guys for a public hearing and an open house. So any suggestions that you have, we'll be doing some sort of
something. Can I present this petition?
Sure. Sure. So, yeah. Okay.
Can I vote? No, that I don't want to.
You can vote on your own.
All right. Anybody else have any new additional business? Don?
No, what's this for?
You're about to find out.
The summer house.
That is for our construction.
It sounded like it was going to be wrapping up here. I didn't want to be left out of my summer home.
Yeah.
So, Devin asked for some sort of construction plan reading, survey reading, etc. Refresher or class or basic class to talk about what was on these documents, what's important, more importantly, what's important for us as part of the PCC. So I sent a couple drawings to Jason, and I think there's some good things that I want to take all night to do. But is it less to be able to
I think it's best to have all the members as well.
Yep.
Presents with surgery. No joke. So
that was my first job.
Right. Randy worked from right there. Phil and my dad worked together.
Right there. Yeah, for Phil.
So I don't know fire safety. I don't know IT. I don't know law, but I know plants. That's something that I know, right?
It's
a blueprint. They don't even make those anymore, do they? Well, this is...
No, this is a plan. So this is the original.
So the term blueprint...
is using blue.
Yes, but the term blueprint denotes...
That's your architect. Yes, I'll say that.
So this is a, it's a plaid that might be blue, but it's not
so good.
That's somebody's. So, well, somebody's, of course. Somebody here, at least. So,
it's somebody else.
Yes.
Is there
so, it tells you the title. And the survey always has this organizational information at the bottom, right? It gives you the job name for your young associates, okay. You know, who the owners are, okay. What the drawing file is, the name of the person who
fills the image,
right? That's always on. And then on surveys, there's interesting things like a legend, right? You know, the different markings on there and me. That's on all civil drawings we look at. There's a scale. Some may not know what a scale is, but the scale tells us what the representation on the page is translates into the real world. So in this case, the scale is 1 inch equals 20 feet. So every 1 inch of space on this drawing is 20 feet in the real world, right? This is the northern, it tells us north is that way. And it tells us some general information about the job site, where they found the elevation, if they figure out how high the house is going to be on the ground. And they should have this is not a legal description. Here, but sometimes there's a legal description, which So a legal description is usually on surveys. It's a legal ease way to describe the property.
It's the range.
Is it?
That's my house.
Okay. Pretty cool. Right. So.
Can you just notice that?
I've been done. I drive past it once, a couple times over here. So, for what we're doing, that's really what we're looking at. They're kind of surveys and civil drawings. But they can get more detailed. You can get to, this is a job that I'm just finishing up this week. This is Ridley Field. We performed all the demolition out here, and drawings can get, that's not the best one. They still got a legend over here, right? And it tells you what the colorings and markings and symbols on the drawing are. That's the design of the civil engineer trying to explain to you what they are. And one thing that we see a lot in our drawings is the line widths. When you start looking at a drawing like this, you have to figure out, what am I looking at? What's the important stuff? There's so much information on these. One of the hardest things is trying to figure out what's important and what's not. So in this case, the important stuff, they thicken up the lines, right? They're darker. The not important stuff is lighter. It's kind of in the background. That thickening of the line is meant to show you that this is important. Pay attention to me. And in this case, what does that say? PL?
PL.
And what is that? Is that markup to anything?
Property line,
right? They're trying to show you when we come through here and we rip up all these fancy pavers and that bar that was there on the corner of Wrigley, it's no longer there anymore, where the property line is, so we stay inside the property line. Sometimes they'll have... What else you got here, Jason?
You sent me...
Sometimes they'll have blow-ups. Sometimes they'll have blow-ups of little specific areas that'll show interior walls, the exterior wall of Wrigley, where all the fancy pavers are with people's names engraved in them. This is the firehouse across the way. That's another thing they show. These are plan views, right? That's what a plat of survey is. That's what this is. It's all plan view. It's like a bird's eye view of the drawing, right? Drawings usually come in three ways. They come in plan view. They come in elevation, which is that sketch that I wish the markers were building at the corner of
such and such, right?
It
would be a tough fit.
Elevation view, which is a nice way to represent what the building looks at its different faces, right? And then drawings usually come in section view, which is what this sheet was to represent. These are cross sections of what they're building. So we've seen overhead, and we've seen to the side, and now this is if you cut the material in half and you were looking at it from the side. So this is a pavement section where pavement meets a curb and meets some new sidewalk. What they're trying to show you is there's some asphalt with some
stone subbase, and you've got a new concrete curb. There's the gutter portion, there's the curb, and you've got new concrete that they put those new fancy pavers on top of. That's a sectional view. So all those things go together to explain to the builder and whomever how to make whatever they're trying to build, whatever they're trying to construct. But like I said, for our purposes...
But these also tell you where to look for stuff too, right?
Yes, sure. So
I mean, like, different pages, or do they refer to the different sections?
Yes. So if you look on... what drawing is this?
Am I getting you off track?
No, not at all. So if you look at, like, this is a blow-up of one of the outfield areas, Addison, right? And they're saying on one, on detail one, on C-4.0, that's what that bubble, that circle means, there's information on unit pavers and concrete base. So then you would turn to C-4.0, and you would look for detail one, and there's unit paver and concrete base. And just like you want to read first the title on every drawing, you also want to read first the title on every detail, and fully read all the notes, and fully understand the notes they spell out here, and what all the different lines are, and the thicknesses on the detail versus the lightness on existing. That's not important. Important versus not important.
So these numbers correlate with these here?
These numbers here are different notes.
Are they
specific?
I know you want to look at, you know, one, two, and then they're different pages.
Yes.
Or?
So they can get super complicated. There could be
where to go for the directions.
Yes, there could be 20 pages of details like this for one little drawing, like that first page of Wrigley.
You guys probably have...
No, I didn't know when I started out. I mean, I had to learn scale, type of grids, grid lines, notes, and the symbols.
Can I mention something real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, I'm a drafter designer.
Yeah, sure, go ahead. Good. You showed up on time.
Exactly. One thing that is really nice with these, and by the way, whoever drafted these did great. Mm-hmm. If you have seen one of these plans before and you start to see these that look like clouds.
Oh, good point.
Revision clouds. Yeah. So down here in your revision, you can see a date that a revision took place and what exactly was going on. And then it's listed with this triangle and a number. So if you ever see these clouds, you can look, see what the number is, and then go to the revision.
So today, Jason.
So this isn't the revision. This just indicates a revision.
Yep, that means that something inside of here was changed on this date. So if you saw the original plans, they've
then
changed
you would look,
since then.
Does it give you the page, too?
So just keys.
Phase 4 IFC.
Yep, exactly.
So Danny pointed, that's super important, right? And today, when we had the packet, right, we had the marker, and everything we were going to vote on was based off the December 6, 2018 memo, right? Well, there were previous memos there. That's why dates are important, right? If you build a building, which it's happened all over the place, and you're not paying attention to those little dates, right? You could be supposed to be building a building off of December 6, 2018 drawings, and you end up building it off September 12, 2018 drawings, and then your building's not high enough. That happens all the time.
And it's like a Joliet fire station on Caton Farm Road.
All the time. All the friggin' time. So,
not anymore.
Danny was correct. That's a very important thing. It's important for us, too, because we need to make sure that in the memos we're getting that the dates match up to the material we're provided, too, because it could say, you know, we're going to vote on such and such dated January 1, but there's a miscommunication and they give us the wrong letter and that doesn't match up to the actual.
So they do they just file these things and then give it new ones? Or do you need to go back to these as a reference?
It's changed every...
And that's how it gets confusing?
It's changed every week. This specific job, Wrigley Field.
So they just pull this and say, hey, ignore this one now?
Yes.
We're done?
It's had
well, the problem
thousands
is really pull them.
Right.
You've got it in your truck.
Yeah, Randy.
You just got to make sure that you got the email or whatever, and they got the new one, and you're working on the latest one.
And then it's just wrapping paper.
Yeah. And
yes, exactly.
Yes, and that's how I got all my Christmas presents. So that's the basic. If you look at it, can get super complicated, but lucky for us, we don't have to deal with...
I need one of these.
Luckily for us, we don't have to deal with as detailed as this, but it might come up sometime. Most of them are well put together, plans a survey like this with just the information we need and no more. That's all I got.
Awesome.
Randy, you want to add anything?
I mean, not really. You know, the stuff that I deal with, I mean, when I, what's always really important to me is knowing where, knowing where north is.
Yep.
I'm really spatially orientated that way, so I need to know where north is, and I need to know the scale. And then, like, whenever I'm doing a, getting a plan, and they just want my little part of what I do, you know, it'll be found, like, in one of these kind of little dealios, you know, like Jeff was saying, it'll be blacked out or it'll be, you know, bolded.
On your page.
Yeah. Well, just on the drawing. And then it'll say, like, you know, up here, for instance, it would say, you know, 6-inch sanitary, 70 feet to be lined.
Randy's always got to search for his stuff.
Yeah, my stuff's
they
small.
They never want to give Randy a nice drawing with just his stuff. They want to jam it into somebody else's drawing. Right? It's probably Danny's fault, the drafter.
Oh, yeah, I make the whiteboards real
That's small. Right. See, see, Danny's fault.
So, but yeah, that's... It, you know, that's the gist of it, you know?
That's some of the issues we have when we get the stuff email, you know, with these plans and... Got to keep blowing them up and blowing them up and blowing them up. Sometimes you look at them, it's like, well, I can't even read it.
Sometimes I can't tell the line weights on an electronic version. I have to print it in order to
get it. That's what I do. Yeah. I print it because then I can make notes on it, too.
The engineer is going to, that's going to be his job. We'll get this and hope that it's built according to that.
And a lot of times, like, the plans that I'm used to seeing, like, usually they'll have, like, the stuff that's, like Jeff is saying, like, the kind of the faded, the kind of the ghosted out stuff. They'll show it as existing. Yeah. And then the black, you know, the highlighted stuff or the bolded stuff, it'll show as, like, proposed. So
you should see my plan. I got everything in yellow marker, so I know exactly where the things are.
Yeah,
exactly.
Like, how
we do it.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yep.
Yep.
So, well, cool.
So these are subdivision plans. They're of the entire development.
Right, but I got to know where the easements are, where the accesses for fire, and, you know, these little things, and then I highlight the things that I need to know for the covenant.
You put us out of work.
Wow.
Do such a good job.
I know where the pond is.
Nice.
But you gotta know where your accesses are. Each section has, you know, a different area that I have to pay attention to, and I wasn't, you know, taught any of this stuff. This is the river.
Oh, yeah.
But river we have to know where the sanitation is.
Same thing in other things. Things always pay attention to are the title, so you understand what drawing you're looking
right.
at.
Right.
Right.
And when they were last updated.
Yeah. Who did it?
SEMCON.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Read all
the notes.
My
street was called SEMCON when I first got my lot.
There's your northern.
North,
tell you
right.
where north
and my
is.
Scale.
And your scale, 1 inch is 100 foot. I don't know why. Maybe you do, but engineering or civil drawings and tend to be the engineer scale, and then architectural drawings tend to be architectural.
Yeah.
But I don't know why.
So
and these are good things for me
comes,
because they show where the next
us,
street comes
all
in or the next section.
About
yes.
Is where did you put your hydrants?
Yeah.
What are your setbacks in here? And can I spin my 47-foot tower ladder in here?
Yeah.
Well,
see,
some of the streets, like we narrowed the one over in the adult.
When these are brought to us for plan review, we actually have an engineer within the fire district that does this instead of sending it out. These go get wound up and put in our basement for years until somebody gets hurt and they decide to scan them all.
But that's the gist. Read everything.
So what is a fire hydrant marked on a...
Sometimes it is. Sometimes it isn't.
It would be.
It
would be over in here.
That's an important question.
Okay. We're
it's an important question because some the drawings are trade or objective specific, right? So we know there's a house on here, and we know there's electrical conduit and plumbing feeding it and everything, but never everything is represented. Same thing with fire hydrants. It's not the intent.
I have two on my property.
This one has a fire hydrant.
That's the one for the civil site civil, utilities. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you look at this one here, this one is mine. I have a fire hydrant almost 2 feet off from here and 3 feet from there, and it's not on the plat of survey. But
that's because you don't have a Yorkville survey.
Yeah, Ron, you can look at mine because I have two on my property.
So, again, like for mine, I don't care. Plats of surveys, to me, we never see them. Because once you'll see here, and I'll use mine because, so here's my general plat of survey, but here is where I added a shed.
Yeah.
You see my fancy drawing on there because I was going to hire an engineer to draw a 12 by 16.
Does he go up the percentage of car?
No, he doesn't. Okay. We do check that.
I'm okay. Because you want to know why? Because that concrete's gone.
And a lot of the time, somebody freehands us, that's not trying to scale.
That's right.
You know what I mean? They're at the desk with a pencil, like it looks like that.
Well, you know what?
You weren't around in Yorkville 2 years ago. That would have been perfectly
how big is it? 16
by 12.
That's 16.
You know, we all
that's 28.
Yeah.
So it's not quite
close.
I just take the measurement. As long as you have the measurements on there, when I do my review, I just take the area.
But I don't know. But to see on our side of it,
you can do Google Earth and figure that out.
Google Earth hasn't even updated. That's what's important to us because, like I said, we get these in the beginning, and like I said, all I'm looking for is how wide's my street, what's my setback, because that means, like my house
which
right here.
You paid no attention to.
Yeah, right.
My accessory dwelling accessory units are allowed to be.
Oh yeah,
I had prior.
Thank God for Bob Pilmer. Hey, take a look at this and tell me what you think.
Totally.
You're out of code, buddy.
I look at stuff like this, especially with curved streets and being on a tower ladder, to know that if this side of my house was on fire and I needed to extend my ladder over to here, I ain't making it. So that's the things that I look at specifically when it comes to there. Now, this over here, I can go anywhere I want to and halfway down the side, but if I'm parked over here, I'm barely touching that.
Let me steal this one first.
Whereas this right here is what we like to see because now we can sit and say, okay, this is a M1. I have fire hydrants every 150 feet.
So I don't want to say anything about this, but what is this?
It's Cook County Jail.
Cook County Jail, yeah.
Right?
I don't know.
There's the title.
I
wanted you to read the title, right? There's
Cook County Jail. Okay. Issue for bid on this date.
Right.
Document number.
Right. It's got everything on
the
there.
The code you need.
C for civil drawing.
Civil.
That's the name of the page.
Here's your legend.
Here's your legend. Right.
Here's North.
There it is. You know what you're going on. And this one is not as great with line widths, but what they're trying to point you at is...
Where's your scale?
This. Scale's here. It's a big, long one.
Oh, okay.
1 inch equals 40
foot. I got it.
Foot. This is Division 1A and Division 1, which are the 6-story... Cook County Jail buildings that are going to get demolished. Dillinger was, I think, put to death in the basement of this one.
He's put to death outside the bike.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So he's somebody else. Maybe he stayed there overnight. I can't remember what it was. But
so they're going to knock him down?
Yes.
They ought to.
Well, I know it's kind of pretty.
You ever been in there?
Is it hellhole?
No. I have not.
Oh, no, not that.
Sorry. No.
No. No.
Yesterday was my first experience.
I didn't say I'd
that's right.
There's they brought in information about who made the drawing.
Right, who to get a hold of.
Yep.
Fax exactly. Number.
As long as you start by reading the stuff, that's what the drawing is.
Right. At least not on this one. There's no bubble around it.
Yeah, Yorkville.
Historic jail.
You went in there?
The
I went in there.
They have to put
did
revision.
You need your respirator?
Okay, so it'll say revision.
As I went in there, I thought, what am I doing?
You know.
What
if you just look at the cover, it'll say it's been
I was like, what am I doing breathing this in?
That's a good thing.
There's asbestos in
there. It says it on the cover.
He wants some coffee now. So there you go.
One thing that wasn't on the Wrigley drawing, and I should have brought one, is grid lines or... You see there's numbers across the top here?
Yep.
And there's letters across the bottom here?
That's like your property.
Basically, so that I can call you on the phone and be like, Deb, take a look at that little bump out in section C4. And we'll look over here. And we can
Like battleship.
Yes.
Right. Exactly.
I used to do math like that in first grade. Hit the grid to get the answer. Do you remember those things?
I remember that, yes.
That's our most.
Multiplication table? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Well, thanks for the class.
Yeah. Awesome.
And if you guys want to see what we're doing downstairs, these are modern as a service. We have to go back to the time. We'll get things like
this. Outstanding.
Sometimes they don't exist at all.
I think I've got a copy of mine like this.
There were a couple I couldn't find. Where are you at? You're on
Norway. Is this?
Norway. I couldn't find your.
This is you.
I was trying it in.
You can't find an acre?
It's a big room of boxes with files.
I can show you on the plat.
263 on print.
He's an
Never mind. Cubs fan, anyways. Yeah, that's my crazy property.
Oh, this is yours.
Yeah, very strange.
See, I'm on a pie myself. The front of my, I have 300 something feet of sidewalk.
You do. Nice. Yours is almost the other way around.
That's why there's two fire hydrants.
Is that the vacant lot?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the.
I want that lot.
I know. The problem.
The drainage easement comes like way up here.
Well, and then you've got the whole like little baby retention pond.
That's That's why the drainage it's a 2-acre property.
Yes.
And then the drainage comes like right to the back of his house.
Only in the sewer.
So you can only build right here.
I know.
That's why it's vacant.
You didn't buy it, right?
That's right. That's why it's vacant. My wife's like, honey, you should buy that. Put your shop right in the. I'm like,
no.
I'm like. Do you think a city, I'm not even going to take that and go, hey, I want to put my shop here. I'm like, no. But what I would like
I know where you're
is this
right
here. That's why.
By cases.
What is, right. What is that butting up to?
It's butting up.
Rainy day.
Oh, this is right here.
Rainy
and Rainy. What's his name? Kenny Buckman.
No,
Bucky.
No.
Bucky.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. We can talk.
Yes, we should. Get Bucky into the moment and then grab that. Because, that was something, whenever we have these, these things that come across and they're like, oh, that's going to shake my house and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, just like the thing with the thing we just voted on, for the markers. I don't think that they can do it. But it's not right. But anyways, if you want the view.
Their battle's not over yet, right?
No, that's what I'm hoping.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
Yeah. If you want the view, you got to buy the property.
Yeah.
So I've always wanted this piece back here because the part that I would put or try to put my shop on is kind of the crappy low-lying area. And then there's a really nice side that goes up 126.
Mm-hmm.
Let's close the piece up.
Yeah.
All right, hey, seeing there's nothing further on the agenda tonight, can I get a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. Meeting is adjourned at 8:30.